Now, this is Palm Sunday in the church, and I've taken a different slant on it this year. So this year, I've been challenged personally about needing to have more scripture in my life and more scripture in our services. And so what we're doing today is, in an effort to get more of God's word into what we're doing together, I've pulled in many people from our church family, and they're going to lead us through the Old Testament prophecy that's found in Isaiah 53, and then in the New Testament, the story of Jesus, the trial, the crucifixion, and then his burial, which is found in Luke 23. So it's going to be a different service, but my prayer for you is that you have a greater appreciation of what Jesus has done for us through his work on the cross, that you have a greater love for Jesus as a result of what we remind ourselves of today. So we're going to start, I'm going to pray, and then I'm hoping that we'll have somebody lead us in the Lord's Prayer together. And then after that, we're going to start with a different form of worship, because we're going to join a free church in Lewis, the Isle of Lewis, and we're going to sing Psalm 100 with them, which we know is All People That on Earth Do Dwell. Fantastic song, love it, love to hear it belted out by a crowd. Oh, it started to rain on me. But yeah, after that we're going to go on to hear Alan read Psalm 53 to us, and then we'll go into our normal worship set. It's really raining now. And then the rest of the service will follow on from that. So let me just pray quickly for us, and then we'll go into the Lord's Prayer. Almighty God, as the rain just pours down on me now, we pray that your Spirit would pour out on the people, on every person watching this, in their home, whether they're with a family or with their bubble or whether they're on their own. Lord, meet each one of us, unite us in your Spirit, and help us just to remember today just the work, the glorious work that Jesus, our suffering servant, did for us. Now we say the Lord's Prayer together.
Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those that sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Who believes what we've heard and seen? Who would have thought God's saving power would look like this? The servant grew up before God, a scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in a parched field. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum, but the fact is, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures. But it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him. Our sins. He took the punishment, and that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. We're all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way. And God has piled all our sins, everything we've done wrong, on him. On him. He was beaten, he was tortured, but he didn't say a word. Like a lamb taken to be slaughtered, and like a sheep being sheared, he took it all in silence. Justice miscarried, and he was led off. And did anyone really know what was happening? He died without a thought for his own welfare, beaten bloody for the sins of my people. They buried him with the wicked, threw him in a grave with a rich man, even though he'd never hurt a soul or said one word that wasn't true. Still, it's what God had in mind all along, to crush him with pain. The plan was that he'd give himself as an offering for sin, so that he'd see life come from it. Life, life, and more life. And God's plan was will deeply prosper through him. Out of that terrible travail of soul, he'll see that it's worth it and be glad he did it. Through what he experienced, my righteous one, my servant, will make many righteous ones, as he himself carries the burden of their sins. Therefore, I'll reward him extravagantly. The best of everything, the highest honours, because he looked death in the face and didn't flinch, because he embraced the company of the lowest. He took on his own shoulders the sin of the many. He took up the cause of all the black sheep.
Luke 23. Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Messiah, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted. "He stirs up people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who is also in Jerusalem at that time.
When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he'd been wanting to see him. From what he'd heard about him, he hoped to see him perform a sign of some sort. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they'd been enemies.
Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." But the crowd shouted, "Away with this man, release Barabbas to us." Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." For the third time he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will.
I wanted to pause in the midst of us listening to our church family reading Luke 23 to us. And I just want to remind people of the passage that Alan Cruden read to us at the beginning of the service. Isaiah 53, and the little part just before it, Isaiah 52, is known as the suffering servant, the information about the suffering servant. And it was written by Isaiah, the prophet, 740 years before Jesus' birth, it was reckoned. So 740 years before Jesus came to earth, we are beginning to see here, an amazing prophecy just laid down of who the Messiah would be, what he would experience. And we're hearing that this morning in Luke 23. And so I'm just going to go quickly through Isaiah 53 now. If you have a Bible handy with you, please, by all means, open and follow along with me. And just pick out some of those threads that we're hearing about today, or we're going to hear about in the rest of the readings. But not only for today, but throughout this week, why don't you take some time for yourself to just compare Isaiah 53 with what we read in the New Testament, in the Gospels, and 1 Peter 2 is a good place to look as well. And just spend time thinking about what Jesus went through in these final days and hours before his death. So let me just pick out a few things now from Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected by mankind. He was despised. We held him in low esteem. Now we've been hearing bits of that so far in what we've been reading. But then the rest of Isaiah 53 from verse 4 goes on. I encourage you to listen to what I say about Isaiah 53 now, and just to see where you see a glimpse of it in Luke 23, the reading still to come. I picked a windy day to read outside, haven't I? Verse 4, he took up our pain and bore our suffering. He was punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. Jesus took the nails on Good Friday for our sins, for yours and mine. He was crushed for our iniquities. Punishment that brought us peace was on him. Jesus suffered for us. And the good news that comes with that, by his wounds we are healed. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 6. Verse 7 goes on, he was oppressed, afflicted, yet did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And that brings us back to the Passover lamb that we read of in Exodus. For the transgression of my people, he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, even though he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. And just look at how that compares, that description compares to the Sadducees, to Herod, to Pilate. But there is hope. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. My righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Friends, as we continue to listen and as we move now into the reading about Jesus' crucifixion, I encourage you just to let those words flow over you. Sit with them today and throughout this Holy Week. Throughout this week as we lead up to Good Friday and then yearn for the hope that we hear of on Easter Sunday. Let's hear the next part of the reading now.
As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?"
Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews."
One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise."
Jesus' death. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things.
You know, friends, These passages that we're reading today, these stories that we're hearing read to us by our church family, this contains the source of all our hope. Jesus is our only hope. And we read of that in Isaiah 53 and we read it in Luke 23. And in the last couple of passages that have just been read, we read of the criminals hanging there, one on each side of Jesus, one hurling insults at him, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself, save us." And the other realizing who Jesus is. "Don't you fear God? Aren't we under the same sentence? We are punished justly, but this man has done nothing wrong." And as well as that, not just them, but the centurion, verse 47, a Roman soldier, not someone who would be expecting a Messiah, not necessarily a Jew at all. This centurion, seeing what happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." Even he began to see. My friends, there is no neutral position when it comes to Jesus. You are either against him, or you are a follower, you belong to him. And even for those who think they're sitting on the fence and that, there is no room for that. If you're sitting in a position where you're neither here nor there, actually you are in the place of being against Jesus. And we are called not to be against Jesus, but rather to follow him. We are called to be like that criminal who hears from Jesus, "Truly, truly, I tell you, you will be with me in paradise." And the way to be with Jesus in paradise is not by working. It is not by doing certain works or doing good things. Look at the man on the cross who did nothing except acknowledge who Jesus was. That is what Jesus is looking for from us, from each one of us. And so if you're in a place where you haven't actually done that, I encourage you to just pause, to reread these scriptures again, and just to say, "Yeah, I choose to follow Jesus. I choose to set aside all from my past and instead to follow him." And now we continue to the last part of scripture that we're going to hear today, the burial of Jesus. And although it wasn't intentional, the reader I have for this section is someone who has sadly probably encountered more death than any of us in this past year. And so I think it adds a certain poignancy to this reading. And yeah, I hope it blesses you. But yeah, over to the last part of our reading.
Good morning, church. Today's reading comes to you from the Glasgow Cathedral. This is Luke 23, verses 50 to 56. "Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The woman who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment." May the Lord bless this reading of his holy word.
Dave finished his reading with that prayer that we so often pray, "May the Lord bless us with the reading of his holy word." And I add my amen to that. I've been blessed by seeing some faces I haven't seen for a long time in today's service, and hearing some voices I haven't heard for a while. And I've been blessed by the readings as well, just the sheer strength of hearing the story just from God's word, fresh, just to us in our homes. And this is a time when we're not able to connect with each other, but I hope today that actually we have been able to increase our connection with Jesus and to just reflect on in his final days and his final hours. And I want to thank everyone who's involved in today's service. And yeah, you'll realise there's quite a lot of folk involved. So just before I'm beaten by the rain, I'd like to pray just to close the service. And then we're going to hear another fresh voice sing the blessing over us. And after that, I hope you'll then be able to join us on Zoom. But throughout this week, I would encourage you to go back and listen to these words again that we've heard today, to read them in your own copy of the Bible, and just to reflect on the two stories, the two passages we heard today, Isaiah 53, that ancient prophecy, and Luke 23, one of the four stories told of Jesus' last days on earth. But for now, let's pray together. I'm going to set my Bible down there. Almighty God, this is a day, this is a season where we marvel just at the extent of your love for us. And especially that we look at the pain that you are willing to face for each one of us, that we might receive life in all its fullness. We remember the pain of your body, the thorns, the whip, the lash torn into your body, the nails that were hammered into your ankles and to your wrists, all for our sins. You bore the weight of all our sin on your body. We remember too the pain in your spirit at that event. Lord Jesus, we can never fully grasp the extent of what you went through for us. But we know that yours is a love that's greater than any than we can ever show, and a sacrifice more costly than we can ever make. And so we thank you, gracious Lord, for all that you endured for us. And I pray now that you would open our eyes to the wonder of this season. Help us, Lord, to respond in the only way that we can, with heartfelt gratitude, praise, and loving service. Gracious Lord, we thank you for all that you endured for us. In your precious name we pray. Amen.